This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with, in studio, we'll also hear reports from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. Tropical storm Helene expected to intensify into a major hurricane before making landfall along Florida's Gulf Coast sometime Thursday. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says Helene will bring heavy rains, high winds, and deadly storm surges as it makes landfall.
We are expecting peak rainfall totals in the ballpark of 6 to 10 inches, both near the point of landfall, east of the center, and then also as the storm begins to move inland and interact with the terrain of the southern Appalachians. We could also see some excessive rainfall totals moving up into places like western North Carolina, northern Georgia, and eastern Tennessee. Another impact that we'll be looking at in coastal areas will be the potential for a deadly storm surge along and just east of where this potential hurricane moves ashore. Likely in the Big Bend of Florida. We're looking at the possibility of a 10 to 15 foot storm surge with this system.
And Rippey says significant impacts will occur to agricultural products.
Even if it does hit the Big Bend, there are still some potential significant agricultural implications. Open boll cotton is especially vulnerable. Georgia is the number two U.S. production state for cotton. The crop mostly not far enough along for harvest. The peanut crop is also vulnerable. Only 5% of the U.S. peanuts harvested by September 22nd. It's ironic that some of the harvest activity for the Southeast Eastern peanuts has been a little bit slow getting started because of drought and hard soils that has slowed down the initial harvest efforts in some areas.
This is usually the time of year when farmers start to think about inputs for next year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
GK Technologies agronomist Sarah Hall-Lovis says this time of the year is busy for them as they are collecting data to create zoning for their variable rate technologies.
We're kind of in the time of the year where there's a lot of soil sampling going on, and so we make a lot of zones. I work primarily in North Dakota and northern Minnesota, and so in those areas we make a lot of zones, and so we do that from various data sources, and we put together those data sources to help us understand, you know, where the field might act similarly or differently from each other from a productivity standpoint, and then we're able to separate that out. And then once we've got that, we'll go and separate each zone in the field as if it's its own field, and then we can create prescriptions, and that's how we'll develop the variable rate prescriptions that'll end up being used for fertilizer application or seed applications into the future.
Hall-Lovis says the prices are the big factor this year.
There's a lot of concern about some of the fertilizer pricing that's going on. And so one of the things that we can do is we can try to be as efficient with those inputs as possible. I don't always say that variable rate application is going to decrease your input costs, but rather it's going to help you be efficient. One of the things that we deal with a lot in North Dakota, especially, is those saline areas around potholes. And if you know you're going to have a limited production potential in that area compared to the better spots of the field, well, let's have a reduced yield goal in those areas, and then based on that we can just reduce that overall input cost and apply inputs to a level that makes sense.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Citing a lack of funding and a fire in their facilities last month, the Ag Innovation Campus at Crookston, Minnesota has shut down operations. Here's Board of Directors Counsel Eric Ogren.
Ag Innovation Campus has decided to cease its operations. It had been operating for the last year or so as an operating entity, and the goal was to be able to build a production facility at which both private companies and researchers could work on innovative soybean production technologies. We got a long way there, but the funding really wasn't there to continue. We had a fire about a month ago, and that was probably the last nail in the coffin, so we decided to close the production facility.
And though the operations have stopped, Ogren says the hope is that the mission of the Ag Innovation Campus will endure.
The board and the group that first created this entity, it was very much a mission-oriented entity to create innovative new technologies for the soybean industry, and that's our hope that the new owners of the facility will be able to continue with that mission.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. With the increase in technology in agriculture, the ability to repair your own equipment can be difficult. The right to repair is currently up to the state legislation, and Penn State Clinical Professor of Law Ross Pfeiffer says having the ability to repair equipment is vital for farmers.
There's technology that's embedded into these different types of equipment that it makes repairing them different than repairing a tractor from the 1950s, where you were just addressing the mechanical equipment. Now there's a lot of electronics, a lot of computer equipment that makes it more of a challenge for them to be repaired, and requires the person that's going to be repairing them to have certain specialized equipment or information from the manufacturer.
There are some states that are making progress on the issue.
This is an issue that's moving. You know, there has been progress in terms of, you know, states have enacted legislation. So there have been legal developments that are occurring. So we have kind of this parallel track. We have legal developments. We also have kind of the voluntary process as well. You know, whether progress is being made, I think that's, you know, probably an issue for people to make their own determination as to what they believe progress constitutes. But there definitely are legal development that have taken place. Whether that is ultimately going to satisfy the demand that farmers have, we'll have to wait and see.
Grain markets started higher yesterday, then reversed course throughout the day. Farmer selling playing a role. Van Aan and Company market analyst Christy Van Aan thinks farmers are making some catch-up sales.
A lot of that selling pressure showed up strictly because of some farmers finally getting to a point saying, hey, I am going to cash out some beans. We know that everyone is behind on marketing and what needs to be sold. You talked to elevators about it as well, and so it's not surprising that you saw that liquidation. For a lot of places, if you have a processor plant by you, that would have been close to $10 cash and above $10 cash in parts of southern Minnesota.
And Van Aan thinks soybeans will struggle to push a whole lot higher.
It's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for soybeans as we progress forward. We have an abundance of crop here. Actually, around the world, we have an abundance as well. But the big issue is, you know, how dry does it get in Brazil? We know that they're at record dry concerns, but the monsoons usually start to fire up here into October. And so that's the big question is, do they fire up? And it's kind of a hit or miss if these rains are going to show up. So until you can see the rains confirm, I do think that you're going to have a little bit of risk on trade of putting a little bit of premium in there.
Progressive Ag Marketing analyst Brian Strumman says weather and technical trading were also features.
You know, we still ended up on the positive side, but, you know, again, like you said, well off the highs. But technically, I think when you look at the market too, we are above the 50-day moving average, and that does offer some support. And the wheat complex too. I mean, we had some decent gains this morning. We came back to trade 3-4 cents lower. You know, smaller production estimates in Russia. There was some rain again in the southern plains over the weekend, but we'll need to see more of that. And then you've got the small grain summary and the quarterly stocks report coming out on Monday.
And farmer selling, a factor.
Yeah, I think with the recent move, I think you've loosened up some grain. You know, guys have to generate some cash, and hard to not reward the market. So I think there's maybe a little farmer selling going into this as well.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, NASS, will survey farmers about production practices as part of the 2024 Agricultural Resource Management Survey. Beginning in October, NASS will survey wheat and sorghum producers and track how farmers use technology to manage production of their field crops. NASS is recommending farmers have their fertilizer and spraying records available to assist in that survey process. Perham, Minnesota Lakes Community Cooperative Meat Processing Facility will receive $530,000 to expand its facility. The funding, announced by U.S. Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, would double their capacity. that is part of a Klobuchar and the Smiths plan to spur competition in the U.S. meat processing industry. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. AIM for Climate, a five-year joint initiative led by the United States and the United Arab Emirates, is coming to an end next year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
With the Ag Innovation Mission for Climate initiative set to expire next year, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack provided a look at what is to follow.
A set of recommendations. First and foremost, the necessity of making sure that we do integrate in the NDCs in the future food and agriculture systems. Very incredibly important to do that. That's recommendation number one. Recommendation number two is that we've established a baseline of funding on the part of countries and on the part of the private sector. We'd like to see that baseline continue. This isn't just a one and done opportunity. This is a chance for us, I think, to see governments continue to invest in this space.
Vilsack stressed the need for the initiatives within AIM for Climate to continue.
We have focused on four areas with AIM for Climate. We focused on smallholder strategies. Mm-hmm. We focused on methane reduction strategies. We focused on emerging technology strategies. And we focused on continued expanded research and ecology, research and knowledge. Those four, I think, goals need to continue to be impressed upon the partnerships that will develop from AIM for Climate.
But one thing stood out as the most important takeaway.
Innovation's key. But innovation doesn't work unless it's scaled, unless it has support, unless it's supported not just by governments but by the public-private partnership, which I think is the hallmark of this particular initiative. Look, we've got a major challenge here. If we're going to feed the world, we're going to have to increase agricultural productivity at a time when it's going to be more difficult because of a changing climate.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
RCAF USA submitting comments to USDA's National Resources Conservation Service, Natural Resources Conservation Service, urging the repeal of the SUSTAINS Act. RCAF says the SUSTAINS Act is contrary to good government principles by soliciting private contributions from entities that are being regulated by USDA, offering them benefits beyond targeted programs. Checking markets before we leave you this morning. December wheat in Minneapolis is trading down 5 cents. Chicago December wheat's down a penny and a half. Kansas City December wheat down 2.5. December corn is 2.5 lower at 409.25. March down 2.75. November soybeans are down 9.75 at 1032.5. January down 9.75. And in Winnipeg, November canola down $4.80 a metric ton. On the farm calendar, Minnesota's Environmental Quality Board hosting Environmental Congress at 4 locations around the state here late in September. They'll have a kickoff event from 4 to 6:30 tomorrow in Mankato. The Minnesota Broadcasters Association's annual convention begins September 30th and runs through October 2nd. That'll be in Rochester, Minnesota. World Dairy Expo next week as well, Tuesday through Friday. That'll be in Madison, Wisconsin. That's October 1st through the 4th. North Dakota Stockmen's Association's All Breeds Cattle Tour in the Jamestown area beginning Tuesday, October 1st as well. Well, have a great Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.